Passion and desire can attract everything you want in life. Passion by Design is a show about designing a life of passion. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah, and we're the authors of a concept and a book called Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life.
And we'll be discussing your home, your relationships, your body, your spirit, and anything else that you want to talk about.
And we're here with you live every Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 to discuss living life fully through the senses here on AM 1240 KNRY.
So call in and join us on 831-373-1234. Hi, Sandy.
Paula. Hello.
Well, I am just laughing. The news that plays right before we come on,
yes.
It just gives me such a chuckle. I don't know if you were able to hear any of it, but they're talking about Berlusconi's spicy parties and a pizza company that has started making a spicy pizza along the idea of his parties. So, you know, inspiration can come from anywhere.
From so many places. Well, in our case, inspiration came from you designing bedrooms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to talk today about one of my personal favorite topics, which is the sensual bedroom.
Right.
And Sandy, I'm going to give our listening audience, some of you will know this, and some this will be fresh information too, but the beginning of Passion by Design was about 9 years ago, and it was out of my interior design business, which I've done for now over 20 years, where I really saw a need for the master suite of our homes to become more than the leftover area that I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. And one of our listeners actually commented that she never fooled with the master bedroom because no one ever saw it.
Exactly. And my goal in life, amongst my goals in life, is that to shift the thinking to the bedroom is the new heart of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so powerful when we really focus on what that means and what can be done with that. And, you know, as our listeners know, our show is about designing a life of passion and living a life of passion. And it's all of those things that passion is. It's feeling excited to get up in the morning, knowing that you've got a purpose, knowing that you're making a difference in the world,
mm-hmm.
and all of it starts with each one of us individually.
Well, I think it's important to try to look at our bedroom as the lair and the focus of our love life.
Mm, definitely.
You know, sexual energy and heat is so prevalent when you first meet someone. And there's no reason why that can't continue if you focus on it.
Well, and that's really true.
That's what you and I have discussed in the book, is that keeping that alive also has a lot to do with keeping your senses alive.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Paula, talk about the sensual bedroom.
Well, I will. And I want to just include, too, because I think it's a bit of a misperception.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is not presently in a relationship, this doesn't leave you people out. If you're single at the moment,
right.
this still applies to you, because a great deal of what we talk about is energetically attracting what you want in life. And if you have a relationship and you'd like to enhance it, or if you'd like to attract a relationship, these principles still apply to you. So I want to make that point
well,
very clear.
Look at my situation.
Oh.
I created my fantasy bedroom, my beautiful, passionate bedroom, and look what showed up. My prince.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he did. After I created the bedroom, and guess what? We're reaping the benefits of that creation.
Well, you know, you really are, and I don't know, and I should look this up. I'm always quoting people and forget where I get the sources from, but I do, as you know, Sandy, I do a lot of studying and reading about energy and, you know, spirituality and life and design and all the things that interest me.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere I read that there was a case study, and a woman was single, and she was trying and trying and trying. She really wanted a relationship in her life. She was just fine the way she was, and she wanted a relationship. And someone started talking to her and asked her about her bedroom and her space, her home. Well, it turned out that she parked her car right in the middle of the garage. She slept right in the middle of her bed, so there wasn't any room for anybody else. Her closet was jam-packed with her things, so there was literally no space for anyone to come into her life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Someone advised her, and again, whoever you are that gave this great advice, I'm crediting you without your name because mm-hmm. I can't remember who said it. Clear out half of that closet, move over to one side of the bed, move your car over so there's room for another one. Create some available space in your mm-hmm. life.
Uh-oh, I hope my man isn't hearing the part about the closet.
Oh, whoops. Well, you've already attracted him into your life.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, and true story, within a matter of time, a man appeared in her life. And,
wow.
You know, the rest, as they say, is history. And, you know, those things may sound, you know, weird or different or, oh, well, that couldn't happen to me. But as you and I have talked about and read about more, energy is very real, whether we can see it or not. And
yeah.
What we're putting out there, you know, the great works of 20-some years ago, the book Creative Visualization by Shakti Gawain
mm-hmm.
Was really my first exposure to this work. I had lived it all my life just because as a kid I thought naturally you asked for what you wanted and you got it and you expected it and, you know, life was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone put a name to it, you know, and more lately The
yeah.
Secret and all the work that Oprah does and so forth. And so energy really does exist, and it is something that we do have some control over. So
yeah,
having said that.
I was thinking also today about this quote from Marianne Williamson in her book, The Age of Miracles,
mm-hmm.
about the importance of the bedroom. And she talks about the bedroom being the center for our sexual magic,
mm-hmm.
which is so important to relationship. But she says one other thing. She says, I realize that more fuel for the engine of my life as a mother, an activist, a writer, a citizen, a creator in any area comes from my bedroom and what goes on there in any other place. I could buy 100 desks and I would still write sitting up on my bed. The library is not my engine room. My office is not my engine room. The kitchen is not my engine room. Where I live in my most passionate place is my engine room. And there are goddesses from every culture and every age who agree. The ancient world was dotted with romantic and erotic temples. I don't have a temple per se, but I have a bedroom, so I start with that.
Ooh, interesting.
What better validation for, even if you're not in a relationship, for creating the bedroom of your dreams?
Well, that's really true. And truth be told, you know, the basis of all of our work is really what I'm starting to call mindful selfishness. And this is kind of the theory of put on your own oxygen mask first, and then you can go out in the world. And when we as human beings are happy and satisfied and self-actualized in ourselves, mm-hmm. in our quiet time, in our private moments, and this is where I find it so interesting that and this is the attitude I want to change, that people say, well, nobody sees it but me. Well,
mm-hmm.
who's more important than you?
Mm-hmm.
You're the most important
right.
person in the equation here. So the
That's
bedroom
like
environment.
Saving your good china only for guests.
Exactly. I mean, I eat off of my silver every single day because it gives
mm-hmm.
me pleasure. I love
right.
it. You know, that's one of the things about sensuality, that when we talk about what is a sensual bedroom, for me as a designer, the sensual bedroom is invoking of the senses in the best possible way. So we have those of us who are blessed with a sense of sight, what are the things that we see in a space? We see how light or dark it is. We see the colors, very, very, very important on many, many levels. We see the shapes of and sizes of the furniture that we select, just to name a few things, and then the sense, our sense of hearing and the sounds. You know, what are the sounds that we wake up to? What are the sounds that we go to sleep to? What are the sounds that keep us awake? Does your partner snore? That's another whole show that we're going to be talking about at another time. What are the sounds in your environment? What are the pleasing?
Well, sound systems are so fantastic today, and you have access to so many wonderful technology items that make the bedroom come alive with sound.
Oh, exactly.
And I know even just for my morning, I start my morning with my iPad and my Pandora radio station that I have, the Calm Meditation station that I use to start my day.
Now, Sandy, some days you start it with Black Eyed Peas.
No, that's when I put on my makeup.
Oh,
yeah.
When Sandy and I travel together, I get the real exposure to what Sandy really wakes up to.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I've added a few new ones since the last time I was at
good.
Your house, so
oh,
I'll
good.
Have to share them with you.
Mm.
But yes, and you can download, you know, sounds of the ocean or sounds of birds and trickling brooks, and there are so many wonderful sound systems that you can create just with the simplest, the iPod and the speaker.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh, and you know, there's a new thing on iTunes. Maybe it's not quite so new, but it's new to me. I just figured it out.
What?
The Genius bar on the iTunes, if you click on that and say you have all these songs downloaded, and you say, oh, I'm kind of in the mood for Pavarotti, and you click on that and then click on the Genius bar, it will pull all of the songs that are downloaded on your iPod that might be similar in style and feel. And so you have a playlist that is designed for you without having to, you know, diligently pull each song into a playlist.
You know, that is just genius.
Isn't it? Well, that's what they call it.
It's just magic.
I think
that those Apple people have amazing things that they're doing.
It truly is.
So, you know, our sense of hearing, and then on to our sense of smell.
Mm-hmm.
Smell is a very primal, it's very the reptilian brain, the very basic. We evoke memory. It's in that basic part of the brain. You can smell something that maybe you haven't smelled since you were a child, and a flood of memories will come back.
Oh, that's so true.
It's so powerful, and it's so subliminal. And, you know, the more and more and more, Sandy, that I study about, and I wish there was a new term for it, but aromatherapy.
Yes.
It is so powerful, and we've had guests on the show talking about this. But use that. Use that. One thing that I've been doing lately even is getting a lavender essence and soaking a little cotton ball and putting it in my pillow slip for sleep. And, you know, oftentimes people become numbed to the smell of their own home. And every home has a smell.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but every home has a smell. It can be a good smell, and it can be not such a good smell. So that's something to really address as well.
I think that's a really good point, Paula, and I love that you were talking about the lavender, because that is one of the essences that helps with sleep. And then, you know, there are also the sexy fragrances. And when we had Jane Hendler on, she was talking about how the heart opens with roses and vanilla, and you know, certain floral fragrances can evoke certain feelings of romance, and you know, using that in the bedroom. I loved our conversation with her because she introduced me to so many ideas and possibilities of scents and smells and their purpose.
Well, the vanilla, well, that takes me to our next sense, the sense of taste. And, you know, Sandy, you and I talk about in the bedroom, always having a beautiful tray of some sort in there, which might have a little bit of chocolate on it. It might have some mint. It might have a little glass or two glasses of chilled champagne or even chilled juice. You know, the joy of having, of invoking your senses, your sense of taste, rather, when you're in the bedroom is very joyful. And on a very practical note, you know, I don't know if anybody else this happens to, but when I wake up in the morning, my mouth isn't as quite as fresh as it could be. So I have a glass of water there, oftentimes with a fresh sprig of mint.
You know, you told me that a long time ago. What a great idea.
And it just, you just start with that clean taste in your mouth. Mm-hmm. It's not an artificial sugary taste. This is real live growing mint. I happen to like peppermint.
Some and it's people easy like, to grow. My goodness, it grows everywhere.
Yeah, and you can have it growing in your bedroom window, or you can have a bathroom window or kitchen window or whatever. And then the sense of touch. What's the texture? What do you step out onto when you get out of bed? Do your feet hit a cold, icy floor? Or do you have a warm, snuggly, maybe a sheepskin rug that you sink into, or a beautiful carpet? All of those things affect how we feel. And then the sixth sense, Sandy, that you and I write about in our book, which is named Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life. And we talk about the sixth sense, what we named the passion sense. And this is really going back a little bit to what we touched on earlier in the show about the sense of connection and spirit and self, imagination, intuition, all of those wonderful, magical things that we as human beings get to enjoy.
Yes, the heart, the soul, the mind.
Yes.
Communication, spontaneity, romance, harmony, all of those things we like to put into that sixth sense, awakening those parts of you that make you more accessible to the one you love and to the world around you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's a quick overview of how I define and describe the sensual bedroom.
Paula, you typically, how do you start with a client?
Well, I developed something, and I have to say I'm so surprised that every designer doesn't use this, because it just makes so much sense to me, and I've taught it when I've taught interior design classes, and I'm very client centered. And what I mean by that is I really feel strongly that it's so important to design a space that works for the people who live there. So I start with what I created a long time ago, and I call it a personal style analysis. And it's a questionnaire that I go over. It only takes about 45 minutes, and I get such a vast amount of information. And it's a simple process of sitting down with a couple together, if it's a couple involved. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And going over images and pictures of various styles, colors, looks, mostly interiors. Sometimes I'll throw in some exterior shots as well to really get more of a global view.
Paula, you do something that is unique to other designers, and if you would just emphasize for our listeners that the pictures that they're looking at are not pictures of your work.
Oh, correct. Yes. That's a good point, Sandy. I separate my own work portfolio, the images of the work that I've done, from this personal style portfolio for the simple reason that as a culture, we tend to be polite, and we don't want to say, oh my gosh, I hate that, if they think it's my work.
That is such a good technique.
Well, it makes so much sense to me, because I want totally uncensored. I want the person to be able to say, oh my gosh, I hate that, or oh, I really love that. And this is so fun when you're doing it with a couple, because I will get, first of all, so much information about them, and they will get so much information about each other. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times you know, I'll be going through this process and, you know, the husband will say, oh, well, I really like this. And the wife will say, you like that? You know, totally. And she's been living with him for 20 years,
wow.
You know, and vice versa. And it's a really wonderful, magical way to open up awareness. And it gives me a tool to know my roadmap. And so when I can summarize at the end of that 45 minutes or 50 minutes that it takes, I might say to you, for example, Sandy, you know, what you like is, you know, beautiful colors and comfort and some plush, luxurious fabrics, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, to your mate, and, you know, so-and-so, what you like is it to be very functional and comfortable, and, you know, you want it to be not too fussy. And when I've got both of their heads nodding up and down, I know that I get them. Mm-hmm. Then when I'm going out to my showrooms and I'm looking for the color palette and the product and the fabric that I'm going to bring into their space, I know exactly what I'm looking for.
Well, and do you find men have a different purpose in mind when they choose their likes versus women?
Well, you know, it's a gross generalization, and mm-hmm. I'll put it out there that I know it's a gross generalization, but uh-huh. I would say the answer is yes. My experience is that men like function,
mm-hmm.
and women tend to be more driven by beauty. And what I mean by that is, again, forgive me, men, women, you know, please know I know this isn't all of you. There are obviously exceptions, but a man tends to be driven by, men are single focus, and that's a quote from our friend Alison Armstrong, who does the wonderful, wonderful work on relationships. And she was a guest on the show several weeks ago. But she said, men are single focused. And for example, when a man comes home from work, let's just say, he wants to be able to sit down in a comfortable chair and relax and let go of the stresses of his workday. Does he care what that chair looks like? Not so much, okay? Mm-hmm. He wants to be able to relax and let go of his day. Now, the woman, on the other hand, sees that chair in the living room, and she knows she's having her friends over for the bridge party or for, you know, a luncheon and so forth. She wants that chair to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job is to bring the beauty, the aesthetic, together with the comfort, and to give them both, so they're both happy.
Well, and I think that she also gave some great tools for just even the simplest thing when the man comes home, not to bombard them with questions and what went on in your day, and wait until they do sit, their signs, when they do sit mm-hmm. down in the chair. And she said they put down their keys, which is like putting down their sword,
mm-hmm.
and they may change their clothes, which is like taking off their suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they finally come into the house and sit down and sit into that chair, that's when they're ready to talk.
Right.
And you remember
not
that?
Before.
Wasn't that interesting?
It was very interesting. And mm-hmm. what's the mistake that so many of us make? We, you know, immediately go over and start talking, and how was your day, and, you know,
we interrupt that pattern.
We interrupt them.
Yes, exactly.
We interrupt them.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. So now when you start with a couple,
mm-hmm.
and do you usually start with talking budget? Because we're living in a world of resourcefulness right now. You know, wasn't it our great friend Les Brown who said, recessions restore resourcefulness.
Yes, indeed. And,
yes.
And the answer to your question, Sandy, is of course yes. And there are a couple of things that I put right up on the table, because we all know it's the elephant in the living room. We have to talk about the money eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring up, what is it that you want to accomplish? What are you trying to do here? You know, do you want a whole new wing added to your house? You know, do you want a whole master suite added on? Do you have an event, perhaps a wedding or something specific in mind? So there might be a timeline involved.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want to spend on this? And this is so fascinating, because I find people always say, oh, I don't know, what does it cost? So my answer to that is, well, I can give you a master suite for, and I'm making up numbers here, you know, $100,000, or I can give you a master suite for $1 million. Which one would you, where are you comfortable? And instinctively, everyone knows where they are in that comfort zone. And mm-hmm. I find it a really good way, and to talk about an analogy of cars. Men mm-hmm. get this analogy. They don't get it about draperies and sofa fabrics. They don't get it. They don't care. Mm-hmm. But if I say to them, what are you driving now? And most of my clients, because I tend to do high-end residential, they're driving the Mercedes, the Bentley, the Jag, the whatever. And I say, okay, you know what you paid for that car. And they say, mm-hmm. And I say, what was the first car? What did you pay for the very first car that you bought? And they roll back their mind. And I say, that is what, you know, that's what's happened to the price of interior furnishings along the way. So when I come along and I say, you know, a table is $15,000, they get it. Whereas mm-hmm. if I'm really about educating them. Why does this make sense? I have no interest in just throwing things at people that they don't want or don't understand. I want them to be engaged and passionate and excited about whatever idea I bring into their home.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Paula, now you threw out a figure of $100,000, and for someone like me, that would be sort of impossible. But you do other homes that you could do for less, I assume.
Oh yeah, I'm just making up a number here, mm-hmm. just to make the point. You know, it can be 10,000, it can be 5,000, it can be whatever number. This is where I really say to someone, I don't care if you have a huge budget or a small budget. What I do care about is that, especially with a small budget, if mm-hmm. every penny that you have, if it's a small budget, should be spent well. You cannot afford to waste a penny if you have a small budget. So if that means hiring a designer, whether it's me or someone else, to come in and give you an hour or two consultation, that is going to save you money in your project. So mm-hmm. I highly recommend using a professional from the beginning.
Right. You know, that's a really good point, because if you make a mistake, that can be costly in itself.
Well, and stressful and upsetting, and time. And
right.
Time is definitely money. And speaking of time, we better take a very quick break. So I want to share that when you go to our website, which is www.passionbydesign.com, and you mention that you heard about us on KNRY, we will enter you into a drawing to win a free autographed copy of our book, Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life. And when you visit our sponsors, you keep us on the air. So we'll be right back.
Do you want to get into the best shape of your life? My name is Ellen Bradley Gannis, and I've actually helped thousands of people not only transform their body, but improve their health and the way they feel every day. Fad diets are unsafe and they don't work. If you're really ready for a change, visit me now at www.passioncleanse.com. Free personal coaching and money back guaranteed.
Welcome back to Passion by Design. This is Paula McChesney, and I'm here with Sandy Peckinpah.
We have also wanted to address sleep issues.
Yeah, oh, huge.
Sleep issues are so big in the world today, and, you know, with stress and everything, I think one of the most important things, of course, besides the bedroom being the lair for our love, as we like to call it, mm-hmm. it's also a place where we restore ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we have a wonderful guest today. Do you want to introduce our guest, Paula?
I do. I'm just thrilled. Brian Gingrich of Monterey Mattress Company is joining us today. He has a very busy schedule, and I'm so appreciative of his time. I know he's out of town doing some lecturing and so forth, and he's been gracious and kind enough to join us by telephone. And Brian, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
how are you doing this afternoon?
What's that?
How are you doing this afternoon?
Just doing great, and I so appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. I know that you're giving some talks and so forth. So we're honored to have you, and wanted to just ask you. Really, I having known you even a relatively brief time, although I have to tell you, I met you several years ago because we do sleep on one of your mattresses, and I'm. You didn't know that, but it's true, and we love it.
All right. Well, I like that.
I know. You'd always like hearing that. But I get the sense of you that you are very passionate about what you do. So tell us a little bit about that, Brian. Why are you passionate about mattresses?
I never thought I would be, actually, but it's our family business. I actually got into the mattress manufacturing industry in the 70s when I just on a fluke ended up buying a little mattress factory in Iowa for my brother-in-law when the farming industry was so bad. And then about 10 years later, I think in 1986, my father and mother had followed me to the Monterey Peninsula and the first family Christmas were in Monterey, and a local mattress company had closed, and my brother-in-law and I went down to look at it. Next thing I knew, I was in business with my father. I was supposed to get rich in the record industry as a record producer, but as fate would have it, thank God for a father that works his rear end off and mattresses. And it's been a lot of fun. I would have never thought of it, you know. I don't know, how do people get into what they do sometimes? It's probably a lot of very interesting stories, but it's turned out to be very interesting. I meet a lot of wonderful people, and, you know, we have a very interesting clientele. The Monterey Peninsula has people from all over the world that'll have second homes here. And, mm-hmm. of course, the hotels, over 100 of the hotels in the area use our beds, too. So it's opened up a lot of worlds for me beyond just, you know, helping people with their needs with mattresses.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you make an interesting point just to touch on quickly is, and I think in this new world economy or whatever we want to call it, I think a lot of people are going to find their passions. And it may be totally unexpected. Like, you probably didn't grow up as a kid thinking, I'm going to own a mattress company that's going to help people all over the world have a healthier, happier life. But look at that.
Exactly. I thought I'd become the next Bob Dylan, you know, me and 4 million other kids. Not failing at that, I started producing music. But the interesting thing is that mattresses, it makes such a huge difference in people's lives that just to be able to impact so many people in a positive way, it's been very fulfilling, and I would have never imagined that, you know, getting into the industry, I was going to make a difference in people's lives because I might have something to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, educate us a little bit about mattresses. You know, it's so important because you want a mattress where you can have a wonderful, passionate love life, but also have a great sleeping arrangement as well. Tell us about mattresses. How does that work? How do you get both in a mattress?
How do you get both? Well, interesting question. And our industry, by the way, we are a factory direct. We build our own mattresses, so there's a lot involved in design, and we custom, you know, build for people, people with back problems coming out of surgeries and stuff. After, you know, 30 years in the industry, I can intuitively help people. But just building a really quality product is all the difference in the world, and most people have not, I have to say, experienced something on the level of what we build. So it's a new experience for most people, especially when you get up into the upper-end luxury beds. But it's, you know, it's your sacred nest, your mattress. I mean, you're doing your passion by design in bedrooms. I mean, that's emanates out from your bed. I mean, you know, you, your loved ones, your cats, your dogs, and probably nobody else gets into your bedroom. You know, guests get into your living room, and many people won't get through your front gates, but it's a very intimate place to be, and to have, you know, a wonderful, warm, and healthy environment in your bedroom, including a very good bed, it's a very good thing, and it has so much to do with your health also. I mean, not just physical health, but health, you know, of mind, of spirit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And your dream world, you know, comes from you're on your bed,
true.
You dream.
That is
you know,
so
from where
true.
Dreams come.
Yes, you know, that's another whole show right there, talking about dreams and dreaming and you know, wow, that's a fascinating topic too. But so give us a little technology here. Give us a 30-second technology talk on what makes a great mattress. I mean, give us some specifics
and
here.
That is what sets us apart. I jokingly always tell people it's not rocket science, regardless of what you see or hear on TV. Basically, a mattress will be a spring unit that's upholstered, and then you have some specialty mattresses that will be all foam, or they have airbags in them, you know, to blow up the air. But anyway, to have a really good spring unit, we've partnered with a gentleman out of Dalton, Georgia, that actually designs the machines that makes encased coil springs, which are also known as pocket coil individual springs. So you can have a mattress with that with no bounce. And the springs he's made, he actually machined parts that he made his machine out of. It's pretty interesting.
Wow.
But so we have the very best springs made to our specs after learning from this gentleman everything that we could about springs. But then really what happens from there is the quality of upholstery materials. And a very simple analogy would be car tires. You know, if you have a high quality rubber, you get a long life. If you have a low quality rubber, you don't. Well, with paddings in upholstery, the higher quality it is, not only does it last longer, but there's more elasticity without the foam products ripping and breaking down. So you can, if you have really high end upholstery products, you can have a sleep surface that's extremely gentle, but yet could lift into your lower back, you know, the recesses of your waist. And that's the trick, is not to be firm like a board and not to become soft like a hammock, but to gently support you in good posture. And most of the mattress industry, the quality of paddings that they buy, they can't afford to buy the better paddings because it just doesn't pencil out by the time you get to a retail, you know, sleep shop somewhere. But with us selling factory direct to the public, we spend a lot more money on the quality of paddings, and we don't have all the additional overheads that, you know, 7,000 square feet with 60 mattresses from five different companies and the huge amount of money spent on advertising. So it allows us to be incredibly competitive price-wise, but use much, much higher quality materials. I mean, your grandmother may have a seat cushion made out of foam that's in great shape when it's 20, 25 years old, and you buy a $5,000 or $7,000 mattress, it's very luxurious, and then 2 years you have this incredible crevice, and there's no mystery. It's just the paddings that were used in the high-end furniture cost a lot more, and they last a lot longer. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That's really true, and I know that, and a lot of our listeners know that I am a registered nurse, and I'm very concerned about, you know, our health and our environment, and the bedroom is really kind of a closed unit for the most part. We may open our windows a little in the spring and summer, but for the most part, we are breathing and rebreathing a lot of the products that are brought in, whether it's on our carpeting or our mattresses in particular, and our bedding. So speak to that. What's your philosophy about the whole green and non-toxic and sustainable subject?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Thank you. I've always had an interest in that, even, you know, as a child being brought up on Mother Earth News, basically, you know, and organic farming. And
I think you are an old hippie here, Brian.
So bringing that philosophy into the mattresses and the bedroom, as you say, you know, carpeting, draperies, all of the fire retardants that are oftentimes used. Well, you have to pass fire laws with mattresses, and most mattresses will have chemical fire retardants added into the fabrics to basically, you have to be able to have a blowtorch blow on your mattress and have it not ignite to pass the test. But there are fire barriers that do not use chemical fire retardants. So even our least expensive mattresses, the fire barriers will not have chemical fire retardants in them, and are mostly natural, actually made from rayon, which is a natural product. And in our high-end beds, we are using a organic wool that needle punched into a thin pad, and it's densified so it does not ignite like fluffy wool would. It, much like newspapers, you have a stack of newspapers, you cannot light them. Our really high-end beds, we're using all certified organic products, even the foam rubber for the upholstery, but the fabrics and the fire barriers, organic wool. It gets very expensive to do that, but you don't have to spend that much money and spend on being, quote, organic to be healthy. You just, even, like I said, our least expensive beds, we're conscious about the materials we buy, and there are no chemical fire retardants in our fire barriers.
Brian, do you do anything different to, I know you sell a lot to the hotel industry. Do you do anything different for mattresses that are being used in hotels versus what you do for a home?
No. They're more affordable, the ones that go into hotels, because hotels, you know, just won't spend the money. But they're still excellent beds. The Portola Hotel, for instance, down at the end of Alvarado Street there. They, a year ago, they refurbished the whole hotel and went for their LEED certification, which is a leadership in energy efficient design. It's a hard thing to do to get that certification, and they replaced all of their beds as well as carpeting and drapes with things that qualify for this, you know, with chemical-free and all a lot of different things to qualify. Well, it gave us the opportunity to put into that hotel our first completely green and sustainable mattress lines on that level. I'd been working with and building extremely expensive, beautiful organic mattresses, but I had not yet moved into green and sustainable with our regular lines, and that afforded us the opportunity. So we've switched over to pretty much all of our lines are green and sustainable in materials as much as can be sensibly done. That's pretty much it. You can get a very affordable mattress and be healthy.
So
an organic one.
Brian. So if someone has a wonderful night's sleep at a great hotel here in Monterey and they say, oh my gosh, I haven't slept so well in ages, they can contact you and buy the mattress from you directly. Is that correct?
That happens a lot, actually.
I bet it does.
To this point, we've never had a marketing program through the hotels. Literally, you would have to pull the bedding off and find our label or ask for depth. But we have over 100 of the hotels that use our beds here, and it's amazing how many people will go to that link. And then when they find out the bed they slept in may be, you know, 10 or more years old, and they didn't have a backache, and it felt comfortable, and where they just spent thousands and thousands of dollars on a bed that was wonderful for 2 years and then, you know, had such a hammock effect in it that their back is hurting, and they're very quick to call. But we are beginning with the Portola Hotel, actually, direct marketing campaigns, and the Portola will be offering some special incentives to their guests. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, because as a way to learn about a bed, to be able to spend a night, you know, or a number of nights on a bed, see how your body reacts, is, you know, so much nicer than, you know, laying in public in a shop with 50 beds and, you know, five salesmen hovering around you. I'm very hopeful that it'll actually become a good marketing vehicle. Now, other companies have done it, but not with the quality of beds that we have or the manner that we're doing it. You know, there are so many more markups and stuff. So we'll be transparent in our pricing and our products. And and we won't private label a bunch of different labels so you can't compare our beds, you know, which is what most companies do.
Right.
You stay at one place and you can't, you like the bed, you go somewhere else, you can't find it because they changed the label so no price wars happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, too, that I admire and respect about you, Brian, is your real commitment to the community that you live in. And, you know, you do employ people, and you're very active in giving back to the community. Just give us a quick little overview of some of the things that you're involved with in that regard.
Oh, boy, it's the list is long.
Well, give me
years.
A couple. Give me one.
I love the arts, and of course, coming from owning a recording studio back, you know, decades ago, but for a long time, and associated with a film company, And that's a tough industry to make money in. So, again, thank God for mattresses. But what I ended up doing was creating the community arm of our base of our company called the Monterey Mattress Marquee. And we would use our advertising, still do a lot, to sponsor events, most of them art, but community-related. And the media that we work with will come on as partners in our sponsorships and pony up a lot of additional advertising for us, which helps us, you know, we our names on the air more often like that, but actually what we're doing is supporting the community. And one example would be a year and a half ago for it had to do with anti-gang violence, and what was the name of the group, the Salinas School Systems. We had the Beatles White Album Ensemble, which is a group of great musicians out of Santa Cruz, highly acclaimed, play with the Monterey Symphony at Sherwood Hall and raise awareness and money. And the mayor of Salinas spoke, and a number of other people did. And it was really something to see a full symphony with a fantastic group of musicians doing Beatles music. A way for me to do something I love and make a difference in the community. Well, and that's one example.
That is great.
A number of things.
That is great. Brian, if you had one key point that you'd like to leave our listening audience with, what would that point be?
I have a question, actually. Be passionate about what you do.
I
have a quick question, Paula, before
you
leave.
You know, just in terms of that, get educated when you're going to go purchase products, learn as much as you can, and then make your own informed decision rather than being sold on something with marketing bullets.
Excellent. Sandy, what's your question for Brian?
My question was, what can a person expect to pay for a mattress, say a king-size mattress? What is the price range that a person could expect to pay?
Yeah, most mattresses will sell in our industry, king sets, maybe as low as $800 or $900, but I think the trend has been to spend more money now, so probably the $1,200 to $2,200 range is a real sweet spot for where most mattresses sell for. And we have mattresses in those price points that are excellent mattresses. But with us, people tend to come and learn a lot about the beds and choose what they really love, and they have confidence in how long, how durable it is, how long it will last. So our best-selling beds tend to be between $2,000 and $4,000. Our organic system is much more than that, but very moderately priced by normal standards. If you look at premium beds at any of the sleep shops, you'll start seeing that the premium lines are from $4,000 to $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, and there will always be a bed around for $12,000 for a mattress set up to $20,000 to make the others look more attractive.
Exactly.
And do you ship to other parts of the country?
And do we what?
Do you ship your mattresses to other parts of the country?
Oh, yeah. We're shipping, even with no marketing through the hotels, every month we tend to get at least a few and sometimes a dozen or more purchases from people that stayed at the hotels or visited somebody in their home here. I know one of the, the Monterey Plaza Hotel is one of our favorite clients, and a beautiful hotel. One month I had five of their guests, you know, unsolicited, go and to the desk and go out of their way to call us and order to ship across the United States. So that was, you know, very affirming that you're doing something right.
That's very rewarding. Well, Brian, thank you so much for being with us today. You've just been a great, great source of information. And how can people reach you beyond? We, of course, will have information on our website. But what is a website or a phone number that you can be contacted at?
Yeah, MontereyMattress.com.
Okay.
It's real easy. You can just Google Monterey Mattress and find us
Perfect.
Quite easily. On the internet, but our website is MontereyMattress.com, and it's got pretty good information to learn about mattresses. And of course, our it has, you know, our location and our
Great.
Phone numbers and all of that too.
Great. Well, Brian, thank you.
Wonderful.
You have been a wonderful guest. We'll let you get back to your very busy schedule, and it's been a real joy talking with you.
Yeah, and thank you very much. It's been fun.
Great. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you,
all right,
Brian.
All right. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. Bye bye. Boy, Sandy, does he have a lot of information, doesn't he?
That's good information.
He's got great information.
I think most people are clueless when it comes to mattresses.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm going to tell a quick story here. This is going back to about why one should use a designer. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, and this is a true story, one of my dear clients thought that, and I hope she does mind if I share this, she thought that she could buy her mattress on her own. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, you go, girl. And she did, went to a mattress store, bought the mattress, took it home, and within a week she's calling me and saying, oh my gosh, I have made the worst mistake. This thing is so uncomfortable. So she had to deal with the time, the stress. And mattresses aren't exactly like, you know, little things. They're really a pain to move.
Big expense, too.
A big expense. And because you know, she tried to she fell for the sales pitch, and heaven knows we've all done that. She ended up with a product that she's been very unhappy with, mm-hmm. and has spent several years trying to resolve it. You know, so my next answer to her is I'll take her to Monterey Mattress.
Well, you know, what I love is what Brian was saying. You can actually try out the mattresses by staying in one of the hotels.
Oh,
what a great excuse for a vacation.
Doesn't that sound wonderful? And for the Monterey Peninsula residents, we can do staycations.
Yes,
we can stay.
How wonderful.
We can stay right here. Well, we had another whole topic that we wanted to talk about today, which we didn't even get to, is designing the ambiance for the French bedroom, which we have in our book, which is Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life. But Sandy, we're going to have to do that on another show because we're almost out of time.
I know. Can you believe it?
Well, you know, when you've got a great guest who has such good information and is so knowledgeable, you know, it's we'll do another segment here.
I think that's a great idea.
But
well, and I also think I just want to mention, you know, with everything that's been happening in Japan, and we're also, you know, our hearts just go out to that whole situation.
Absolutely.
And, you know, whatever we can do, I think all of us should just jump into doing, whether it's money or action or, you know, prayer or whatever. But I think that also for me, it's brought to light what better time is there to appreciate the ones you love.
Absolutely.
And I think that would be what we can do today, is appreciate the ones we love.
Well, that's very, very great thought and very true. And our hour is coming to a close. And we will be back next week for another hour of Passion by Design. So join us next Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 on AM 1240 KNRY. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you, Paula.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Community Radio for the Central Coast.
AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.